This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Curry and John Edwards rode 11th-hour surges to a 1-2 finish in Iowa's kickoff presidential caucuses Monday, dealing a stunning blow to favorite Howard Dean. Curry's comeback blew the nomination fight wide open, setting the stage for a free-for-all in New Hampshire's follow-up primary. Dean finished third, stripped of his front-runner's mantle and humbled, saying, "We're still alive," and vowing to carry the fight for the nomination to every primary state. Representative Dick Gephardt conceded defeat Monday night, and aides said he would fly home to make a formal withdrawal. Aides said he would drop out of the race at a St. Louis news conference at midday on Tuesday. The Missouri lawmaker offered his congratulations to his presidential rivals and said one of them would wind up with the party's nomination to challenge George W. Bush this fall. He pledged he would support that person in any way he could, but did not indicate whether he would endorse anyone while the nominating campaign continues. Nor did Gephardt say whether he intends to serve out his current term in Congress, his 14th and last. Howard Dean finished his Iowa campaign Monday night the way he began, impassioned and defiant of his Washington rivals. "We have not begun to fight," Dean shouted to supporters after a startling and distant third-place finish behind Senators John Curry of Massachusetts and John Edwards of North Carolina. Dean blamed the loss on attacks he suffered as the one-time frontrunner. His rivals pummeled him with criticism, saying he didn't have the foreign policy experience or temperament to lead the country. Tens of thousands of Shiite Muslims marched in Baghdad on Monday to demand early elections, the biggest public display of Shiite political power since the collapse of Saddam Hussein's Sunni-dominated regime. The protest aimed to send a message to the United Nations and the White House that Shiites will not accept transfer of power by regional caucuses instead of by a direct vote, as the Shiite clergy demands. U.S. and Iraqi officials yesterday asked the United Nations to send a team to study the possibility of holding elections in Iraq. Secretary General Kofi Annan indicated that he was leaning towards granting the request, but wanted more details. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. That's just too much to lose.
Mike Rowe thinks it's funny that his catchy name for a website design company sounds a lot like Microsoft. The software giant, however, is not amused. Microsoft Corporation and its attorneys have demanded that he give up his domain name, MikeRowSoft.com. In November, he received a letter from Microsoft's lawyers informing him he was committing copyright infringement. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What is one of the most dangerous things you can do when you get seriously ill? Go to the hospital. Talk about catch-22. You're sick and you're told by your doctor to go to the hospital, but no one tells you the deadly little secret of today's hospitals. They kill. They kill because they have inadequate infection control practices. Patients going in for a particular problem often acquire infections from the hospital itself, often causing death. Lots of deaths. The Center for Disease Control reports that nearly 90,000 Americans a year die from these hospital infections. That's more than die from auto accidents and homicides combined. About 2 million patients a year catch infections from their hospitals, one of every 20 people who go in. What could be done? A huge step forward would be the simplest one, hand washing. Infections could be cut by more than half if there was an effective program for all medical personnel to wash their hands regularly, especially washing with alcohol hand rubs. Yet hospitals, apparently watching their bottom lines, don't have such a system in place, and none are required to put it in place. On the other hand, some hospitals do an excellent job of preventing infections. How are you to know the good from the bad? You can't. Believe it or not, there's no requirement that hospitals report or publicly disclose their infection rates so we patients can decide which is the best place for us. Luckily, some states are pushing mandatory disclosure laws. Unluckily, hospital lobbyists are pushing a bill in Congress that would preempt the ability of states to require this disclosure, instead setting up a voluntary federal program for reporting infection rates, and even these voluntary reports would be kept from the public. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is stupid. Consumers Union is fighting for full disclosure. Join them at StopHospitalInfections.org.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Morning or afternoon, depending on where you're listening to me from. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Show. Welcome to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show, brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And, of course, the Organic Wine Company, 1-888 Eco Wine. That's 1-888-ECOWINE. And, oh, I'm so happy to be sitting in here. Tom is off gallivanting somewhere. I don't know. I think he, like, went down to Washington, D.C. and decided to stick around. Louise went with him this time. She's probably keeping him in check. I don't know. It's none of my business. What they did, they left me with all this equipment and a microphone and said, stay here and do stuff. And it's a rather heady thing when they leave me with this, because you got to understand, Tom is starting to, Tom Hartman Radio Show is really picking up big time around here. He's even got an article in Radio Inc. talking about how he's going head to head up against Rush Limbaugh in Michigan, in Grand Rapids, if I remember correctly, as far as where the city was. If I can get this mouse here to sit down so I can look at the radio, here we go. Moderates and liberals living in Grand Rapids, looking for a different perspective from Rush Limbaugh, can find it on Clear Channel's WTKG-AM. WTKG is the first Clear Channel station to use Tom Hartman directly opposite Limbaugh on a sister Clear Channel station, Grand Rapids Wood AM. Director of Programming and Operations Phil Tower says liberal Tom Hartman will be a welcome addition. Quote, putting a liberal host on opposite Rush Limbaugh's show is great for our market and really allows us to cover the entire political spectrum. If we're starting a national trend, I'm proud it started here. Tom Hartman's an experienced national liberal whom we're proud to have in our lineup. For West Michigan liberals looking for their perspective on the radio, this is the show. And might I say, it's not just for liberals. It's for anybody who's really looking for some common sense and truth in radio. You know, when Tom, now I'm somewhat different. I'm more of your gratuitous name caller. You know, I make up facts and figures and throw them out there to see what kind of trouble I can cause. Tom, on the other hand, Tom is an incredibly well-read, well-thought-out, well-researched individual. So it's great. It's absolutely great. But I am so happy to be sitting in here for Tom. I am so happy for Tom that he's getting recognition. And Radio Inc. is a major, major rag as far as dealing with the radio business. You know, I've never been in a radio station yet that didn't have their copies of Radio Inc. spread all over the place. So when you get front page coverage in something like Radio Inc., and at least on their website it's front page coverage, it's great. So really, congratulations to Tom. And hopefully I can refrain from driving away listeners. You know, I've been known to do that. I am probably the only radio talk show host in the entire existence of radio who has had a letter to the editor written about him, meaning me, complaining about me yelling at my mother, making phone calls to my radio show on the air. So, you know, this is sort of stuff I do. I'm sorry. Anyway, okay. Enough of that. We've noticed Tom. Tom's a great individual. He's the world's best author, and I literally mean that, et cetera, et cetera. If you want to call in today, by the way, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff here. So if you want to call in, as the course goes, it's 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. We have this wonderful chat room already filling up with all sorts of super intelligent people. It's already an international audience in there. Europe is in there saying hello to us, and Narolodius is in there, and she's from the South. I forgot. I'm thinking New Mexico. I could be wrong there. Mom Liberated, Pace Cop, PJ Key 154, Placidus Roy, Radine, and Smilemaker 909. Man, I tell you, if you bundled all that intelligence all in one place and you sold it, you could get $1 million for it. It's amazing. Okay, we all know important things were going on yesterday and today. Here's the list of what I got. Michael Jackson, Martha Stewart, Kobe Bryant, Scott Peterson, Rush Limbaugh, Daffy Duck, and, Bush's political speech tonight, but I'm missing something in the list. Let me, somewhere in the stack, I got something else. Let me see. No, Michael Jackson, no, Martha, no, Kobe, no. Ah, Iowa. There we go, Iowa. That's right. All right. Now, this is a time that this could be catharsis, right? For all you, look, I before I get into this, I got to tell you, my wife and I give money to the Dean campaign. All right. I'm a Dean supporter, but I'm not going to sit here and be a Dean partisan on the air because, you know, I realize a lot of Dean people woke up and said, okay. Raid Dean says, if you're going to say my name, say it right. It's Raid Dean. Okay, Raid Dean. I sincerely apologize. But, okay, I'm not going to be a Dean partisan. I woke up feeling somewhat disappointed this morning, but it's far from over. I mean, here's what, you know what it really boils down to after you get through Iowa? I don't want to bring Iowa down to too much, but nationally, the Democratic Convention is going to consist of some 4,325 delegates, give or take, and I think that may be including alternates. I'm not sure. Kerry comes out of Iowa with 17 rather, delegates. Edwards, 15 delegates. Dean, 7, and nobody else got any. In other words, Kerry still needs 4,287 delegates. Dean needs 4,297 delegates. So, you know, it's boom. It's not really that far. Anyway, the Iowa caucuses came of age in 1976, according to this commentary from the LA Times, when Jimmy Carter practically moved to the state, spending 110 days there in 1975. Wow, that's dedication. The victory of this little-known, scantily-funded former governor of Georgia over better-known and better-funded candidates in this previously overlooked event shocked political reporters and the Democratic Party establishment. It gave Carter a burst of momentum that helped him win the New Hampshire primary 5 weeks later. Critics have long suggested that Iowa and New Hampshire, the first two states to hold primaries or caucuses, and historically the most important ones, are hardly representative of the nation as a whole. After all, largely rural Iowa and quirky small-town New Hampshire are 94% and 96% white, respectively, hardly a microcosm of the United States, which kind of makes me wonder why Vermont is it. We're like 98% white. We're a small, quirky state. What the heck? How come we don't rate before Iowa and New Hampshire? I mean, what? Of course, we'd keep trying to elect communists from Vermont, you know. That's what happens. I mean, look, we send Bernie there, okay? So what I want to spend some time doing, especially in this first hour, I know there's a lot of comments, and people probably have a lot of thoughts about the Iowa caucuses from yesterday. You know, this is our first chance to kind of pick up the candidates and turn them upside down and shake them vigorously and see what kind of change falls out of their pockets. So, it's, you know, some of these candidates, we got pennies, some we got nickels and dimes, some had quarters, and, well, apparently a few of these candidates, or at least two of them, had real dollar bills in their pockets, you know, so they turned out pretty good. Is this the end-all and the be-all? I mean, should Howard Dean close up his suitcase now and go home? Should we anoint Kerry? That's John Kerry, right, yeah. Should we anoint Kerry as, like, the new front-runner because he's got 17 delegates out of Iowa? You know, New Hampshire is coming up. You know, New Hampshire might want to have a little say-so in this issue, and you know, of course, after New Hampshire, there's what's that they call Super Tuesday? When they go down in a whole bunch of states, including South Carolina, that's John Edwards' home, you know. So, this is a good chance for all of us to sit down and talk about the issues as far as the Iowa caucus goes. And I've got some little odds and ends that I want to throw in there to give people some thought. Most of this I got coming from the newspapers, and, you know, let's see what we come. And, you know, look, if you're a disappointed Dean supporter, call up and you can cry on my shoulders. If you're a Kerry or a Edwards supporter, you can call up and give me grief. That's fine. I don't mind at all. As a matter of fact, we have Philip from Florida on the line, wants to talk about the Iowa caucuses. Hello, Philip. Come on in, draw up a seat and tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah, hi. Two issues. I want to read to you when I got off the internet here, the 1992 presidential caucus results.
Okay.
Tom Harkin, 64% of the vote.
Wow. That's his
own
state,
remember
though.
Him making president.
No, I don't either. Huh. That's
okay.
Interesting.
Okay. And now Paul Tsongas, the former Paul Tsongas, because he passed on, he got 10.7%.
Yep.
Jerry Brown, current mayor of Oakland, California, 8.3.
Huh. I don't hear Clinton in there anywhere.
Clinton, he got 3.3%. Of course, he never went anywhere.
Right. He didn't actually try to do anything in Iowa, did he?
No, he never went anywhere in politics now, did he? You know...
Clinton. No, I don't recognize the name anywhere.
No. Because he only got 3.3% of the vote in Iowa. How could he have gone on?
You're right. He probably packed his bags and went home. That's why we never heard of him. Oh, this is Bill Clinton, the president.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, and I would have loved to have seen the headline on the Drudge Report right after this one. Probably, the headline was probably Clinton goes back to Arkansas with 3% of the vote. He's done.
Cooked. Stick a fork in him.
He's done. I'm Matt Drudge.
Before
I did this, I worked in a thrift store.
All right, don't get too excited now. Do you have anything there about New Hampshire? Now, I mean, Bill Clinton must have won New Hampshire, right?
Hold on. Let me look and see here.
If you look down, I'll tell you what you're going to find. I'm asking a rhetorical question.
Okay, you know.
He did not win New Hampshire. He came in like third. Jennifer Flowers popped up in the scene right at New Hampshire.
Okay.
So, you know, everybody was so enthralled with looking at her poofy hair that we all forgot to vote for Bill Clinton, I guess.
Now, I'm a Dean supporter, and I have noticed how everybody in the media has attacked this son of a gun.
Yeah.
And Drudge today, on his thing, he has attacked him more viciously than any politician I've ever seen attacked.
Yeah.
And it seems like maybe Grover Norquist yeah. is running things. What do you think?
Well, it could be, and we'll get back to that in a minute. Philip, I got to let you go. Thank you for calling. We got to take a break here. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. We're talking about the Iowa caucuses right now. And we'll be back. There's a lot of really great discussion to go on here.
Oh, hon, it's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Got to go back. We've got to go back.
All right,
you got to go back. You got to go back to Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Show, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. And carrying on, we're talking about the Iowa caucus and just giving people a chance to feel their way around, express some opinions here. We got some interesting tidbits to give out, like 9 of the last 10, like Philip from Florida was saying. 9 of the last 10 major party presidential nominees were winner of either the Iowa caucuses or the New Hampshire primary. The one exception was Bill Clinton in 1992. And maybe Howard Dean's our next Bill Clinton. Oh, my God, no, I don't want to put it. I am sorry, Governor Dean. I didn't mean to put it that way. On the phones is Armin from Florida. Comment about the Iowa caucus, I guess. Come on in, Armin, and have your say.
It's extremely obvious to me. If you philosophically study the rise of Hitler, you'll see that he never could have done what he did without the support of the media and the legal system. And we all know now, most of us that are enlightened, that get our news off the internet and not off the media propaganda mainstream, we know that Kerry's a skull and bones brother, just like Bush is in the White House right now. And the other guy that supposedly rose last night, Edwards, he's the trial lawyer. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, is Bush in or out of jail now because of the legal system? And the answer is yes. He's not in jail because of the legal system. And
So let me go on
to something else, though.
Okay, but make it real quick here.
Well, it's amazing, you know, that everybody, I think that the media's portraying that went along with those two last night that were the winners are just parroting everything that the media's fed them. They first told us when Dean started rising real rapidly, oh, my God, he's a liberal, all through the media. He's a liberal, demonizing him, he's a liberal. That didn't work. Now he's mad. Now they're telling us he's a mad guy. See how it's working? But I don't know. I think that we can still beat him if we get out there and get out to the people and get the mental prisoners away from the mainstream media and enlighten them and educate them and get them to open their mind up.
So, Armin, I take it you're a Dean supporter.
Yeah, I'm a Dean supporter, and if absolutely necessary, anybody but the sock puppet that's in the office right now.
Well, okay, let me ask you then, because I want to kind of keep this on a positive note if we can, I understand what you're saying about the lawyers and the skull and crossbones, and I don't know whether I agree or disagree, you know, but sometimes some of those things take some thought. What is the top two things about Dean that you like?
The man's definitely educated.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's got a good mind. I mean, he knows how things work. And the reason if he's mad at all is because he understands the significance of the detriment to the good of the whole of the nation of what the perpetrators are, what they're trying to pass off on the American people. And I think he's a physician that really cares. And he objects to that because it's his country, too. And he knows you got to have a social makeup of a society that's progressive all across broadly, and you can't just have a top-heavy oligarchy like we're heading into and we have right now. And I think the man's educated. He studied his you-know-what off, and he worked hard. No, he's not perfect, but I really respect him because he's capable. I think he's capable. I think he's educated. And he understands the complexities of a lot of things that a lot of people don't understand, because a lot of people are just simply tools of the oligarchy, and they're bought and paid for, and that's why I look at it like we're in the predicament we're in right now as a country, because a lot of people sell out so damn cheap, and they don't care about other people or the future of the country, and that's why we're at where we're at now. And sir, can I say one thing real quick?
Real quick. You got 10 seconds here, brother.
It just amazes me how cheap people will sell themselves out just to get their face on TV and wear nice clothes and the hell with the country's their attitude. It makes me sick.
Okay, I agree with you, and thank you very much for your call, Armin. And that was really great comments there you had to make. And, we're talking about the Iowa caucus. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Show.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Travel can be terrible for animals that are smuggled through the black market. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. When it comes to pets, the United States imports more wild birds, reptiles, fish, and other animals than any other country in the world. Most of these animals enter the country through legal channels, but many are smuggled in, and the traveling often kills them. Craig Hoover is Deputy Director of the North America Office of Traffic. It's an international organization that monitors trade in wild animals and animal products. Hoover says smuggled animals are often carried under poor conditions. He saw a lot of this when he worked as a wildlife inspector at international ports and airports.
The number of ways that animals are smuggled, for example, into the United States, really boggles the mind. I've seen everything from birds stuffed into tennis ball cans, inserted into false compartments in vehicles. I had an individual who tried to smuggle a live toucan taped to the small of his back. There have been examples of primates, small monkeys that have been smuggled inside hand luggage. Really, the list goes on, and it becomes more and more bizarre the more stories you hear about it.
Hoover says the mortality rate for smuggled animals is high. According to some estimates, for every bird that survives the smuggling, as many as five might die along the way.
However, because the profits can be so large, smugglers still find it worth it to smuggle in 10 animals with the hope that just a few of them make it, they're still going to turn a profit.
Hoover says pet shoppers can help stop these practices. They can ask for documentation that an animal, such as a bird or reptile, was raised by a domestic breeder or was imported through legal means. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Show. Rama Schneider sitting in for the missing Tom Hartman, but I think he's got an excuse. He's off doing stuff he was meant to do. I believe he's down in Washington, D.C. He's going to go hear the State of the Union address or something silly like that. I don't remember anyway. You know, if you go to RadioInc.com, you'll be able to find a really cool article about how Tom is lining up against the Russian. And Tom's going to just kick his butt out there in Detroit where he's going head-to-head against him. That's really great. Anyway, the Tom Hartman Show brought to you by Small Dog Electronics. 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888 Eco Wine, 1-888-ECO-WINE. Well, we're taking a chance. We're not taking a chance. We're actually doing it. We're going to sit here and we're going to run our way through the Iowa caucuses. We're going to have a fun time. I've got really not a whole lot planned, so this is a great time for people to call in and have their say so. 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. I got to tell you that if anything makes me feel good about Iowans, it's this little paragraph. This comes from the Des Moines Register, or Des Moines, as I might prefer to say, but I won't. First-time attendees helped double the number of Democrats who participated in the caucuses compared with the total from the 2000 meetings. Democrats attributed the near-record turnout to the party's desire to oust President Bush and to the competitive field of candidates. So they doubled the amount of attendees who from 2 years ago. And I applaud. And you know, I mean, I guess I got to say that if that's going to be representative of what we see going through the rest of the state caucuses and primaries, this is going to be really, really, really great. I'm, you know, that's hearing that sort of thing kind of excites me. And well, I don't want to seem too forward, but Michael in Santa Fe has some comments here. And does this sort of thing excite you too, Michael?
Very much so. I have to say I'm very, you know, excited about, you know, the participation in Iowa caucuses. I think that Howard Dean is correct. We cannot win the next election without increasing our base, you know,
right,
bringing in a bunch of new supporters. And Howard Dean is really the only guy that's really capable of doing that. That being said, I want to express my disappointment in the Iowa Democrats that they bought into what the media was shoving down their throat, in a sense, of the Republicans, because the last person they want to face is Dean. That's obvious. They would love to face Kerry. They're probably a little bit afraid of Edward. But, you know, the Republicans are muskying, you know, Howard Dean.
Right.
And the Iowa Democrats went right for it. I mean, what? You know, I'd like someone from Iowa to call in that's a Kerry supporter and explain to me, using logic, why they think Dean is unelectable and Kerry is. If they think Kerry is electable because he's a war hero, I got two words for him. Max Cleland. Here's a guy with one limb. One limb. And they destroyed him for voting against some of George Bush's programs and called him unpatriotic and just absolutely mutilated him in the Georgia Senate race. So the Republicans are going to tear up anybody they put up there. The Democrats can nominate Jesus Christ, okay?
Yep.
And the Republicans will come out and say, "Oh, he's a horrible, pot-smoking, draft-dodging liberal." You know?
Well, they would. They'd say, "Look at that hair on him."
So, yeah, he has a beard and long hair.
So, well, so do you think, now let me tell you, as a Dean supporter, do you think, and if you hear that ringing in the background, I've got to go shut off the ringer on a phone here, I guess, but,
okay.
But I'm not going to do it while we're talking on the air. That makes horrible radio, you know, when you walk off and leave
right.
a microphone. But, Michael, let me ask you, do you think this is like a mortal blow to the Dean candidacy, or are we just up and going?
No, not at all. As Dean has turned upside down the political process, he's going to turn upside down the primary process. There's 4,800 delegates to go. You got California, you got New York. Iowa and New Hampshire are rural states, and the Democrats tend to be more conservative and, let's face it, more, you know, they're more like CNN watchers rather than Internet surfers. Let's just, I mean, obviously now we know. And
okay.
I think that California and New York and the big states are more of a liberal constituency. I think he has a lot of, and including here in New Mexico, I think he has a lot. I think he'll do very well. And if he just hangs on, he has the money, survives the South, and goes on to the big states, I think this race can be decided actually in June for a change.
You think of that? And do you think, I think that would be a good thing, that it goes on and lets people really hear out all the candidates. Do you agree with
that? Right, and it continues, and it's bad for the Bush administration because it's always in the news, even on how to try and stuff, they can come up with stuff to try and knock it off the front page. But if you got Democrats debating about who's gonna beat up on George Bush the better, you know, and the issues involved in politics, and keep that focused on the American people, not have this huge lull before the convention when people forget about it, I think we have a really great chance, including an increasing voter turnout in those states where people will register for the primary, and they will obviously then go, maybe, hopefully, for the general election.
All right. Well, Michael, I appreciate your comments, and thanks for calling in.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, phone number, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And I'm perfectly content to keep on going about the Iowa caucus here for a bit because people have opinions that they want to state. And, you know, I would like to hear from some Carrier Edwards supporters, too. Let me know how you feel about them and what it is that you think you like about them, too. You know, as Mike was saying, there's a lot of national candidates to go, and Iowa just represents a teeny, 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 teeny fraction. Let's go to Becky in Pittsburgh. Come on in, have a seat, and let us know what's on your mind, Becky. Becky?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
You know what? I am so much better now that I turned on your show.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, I was really distraught about last night because I'm a huge...
Uh-oh, you're another Dean supporter.
Yeah, I'm a huge Dean supporter, and
okay.
I've been working with him, and I've met him, and he's an incredible man. And the polls were so off. They were saying it was neck and neck the whole time, and then, it really shows that we can't believe the polls anymore.
Right.
But I had found peace and was able to think, okay, well, you know, maybe a Kerry and Clark ticket or maybe a Kerry, you know, I was feeling very peaceful and then I would actually help them, you know, and, you know, be a good sport. And then I read about Katie Couric and the Dean interview this morning and then I saw the video of him talking to his supporters after the caucuses were over last night.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look, Howard Dean, and I don't want to push Howard. Like I say, I'm trying to stay neutral here. Like I said before, my wife and I, we support Howard Dean financially and, politically.
Thank you for saying that.
Howard Dean is an old hand at this, and he has been put through the ringer here in Vermont in some pretty nasty races. I don't think people understand just how nasty you can get in a small state like Vermont, but because we know each other so personally around here,
right?
You can really make a nasty race. So, look, to Howard Dean, this is stuff that he's done before. You know, he may not be used to dealing with it on this large of a basis, but, hey, look, as far as a candidate goes, he's going to do fine. Let me take you outside of Howard Dean for a moment, and rather than ask you what it is about Dean you like, who would be your second choice, Becky?
It's just so hard to say because I'm so invested in getting these guys out of the White House. I think they're just not even criminal, they're evil. And
you're talking about the Bushes now.
Yeah.
Not the other Democrats, right?
Right. No, I'm talking about the Bushes. So I would really want somebody who could obviously beat him. And although I think that Clark might be crazy, I think there's a chance that he could win. I don't trust him because I think he's misrepresenting his past. And I think he obviously has no experience in politics. But as wacko as this country is and as mean and nasty and untruthful as the press is, I think that it's possible that Clark could win the election. I also think it's possible that Kerry and Clark could win. And I know a lot of people are supporting Kerry, and I understand why. A lot of very smart, very liberal people who I admire are supporting Kerry, and I understand why they are. It's just that, and I know you don't want to hear about Dean, but it's just that Dean, to me, represented somebody who could really change the face of politics in America as it is now, from being a cynical, press-driven, nasty process to back to, which is obviously what's going to happen to him, but back to a country that has ideals and thinks along the lines of the way our founders thought when they founded the country. That's the kind of feeling I get when I watch Dean speak. You know, this is America, you know? I mean, this was the first democracy that was ever created, and it's a social experiment that's unparalleled in the world's history. And these people are just tearing us apart, and it's, you know, it's just so sad. So, you know, if these guys can imitate Dean, which I think they're already doing, and come up with some rhetoric that sounds patriotic, I think that I would, you know, I would certainly back either any of them, and I think that it's possible that, you know, Kerry or Edwards or Clark could win. Hello?
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiotis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my charge?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction.
Okay, welcome back. I guess I still have Becky in Pittsburgh on the line there. You know what's fun? When we go off the air, I don't really know this, so I go on talking and talking and talking, and I get frustrated because nobody's paying attention to me, and it's rather annoying. Okay, Becky, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I went on and on.
Did you say everything you wanted to say?
I said almost everything I wanted to say. I did.
Can you clean up so we can get Jim on?
Okay. But thank you for the show. It's really, really helped me this morning, and I really needed it.
Okay.
In my grieving process.
Well, thank you for calling up and filling in for me while I was bounced off the air, Becky. I appreciate that.
You bet. Anytime.
You have a great day. Okay, I guess Jim's gone. Lynn is from Louisiana. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, I'm enjoying your show.
Great.
And I just want to say that I vacillate between Dean, Kerry, and Edwards.
Right.
And, of course, my favorite was Kucinich.
Yeah.
But
was or is?
Actually, still is. He's in my heart. But
okay.
If either of those won, Dean, Kerry, Edwards, or Kucinich, I would be delighted. I really like Dean. The only problem I really have with Dean is that I think that Bush and the Bush Co., Rove, etc., are going to, like, really tear him apart on the national defense. Okay? I was not for the Iraq War, and I'm still not, but unfortunately, we're stuck in the tar baby.
Yeah.
And,
out of all the things, I like so many things about Howard Dean, but he shares, in my opinion, he shares one fault, along with all the other Democrats and along with the Bushes and along with anybody else, is that they all seem to have this opinion that the only way to deal with Iraq is to have foreign troops occupying the country. Even Dennis Kucinich does this. He says UN troops. It's all the same to the Iraqis. It's all foreigners. So what do you think you're going to be doing, Lynn, if you have a second choice if Howard Dean, for some reason, falls?
I think that I would like Kerry and Edwards, hopefully as a team. I think that maybe they could beat President Bush. I think, you know, one of your calls was talking about what they did to Max Cleland.
Okay.
And I think that if the Democrats smarten up, they can fix that. If those negative ads start, they have to get some really good people and run some counter ads.
Yep.
They can fight this. They just have to fight harder. The Republicans fight like street fighters.
Yep. Yeah, that's absolutely true. All right. Well, Lynn, we've got other people waiting to get on, so I want to thank you very much for calling in, and thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, let's try for Jim. I guess he's back. Jim from Chattanooga, is that right?
Yeah, I'm driving down through Chattanooga here.
Ooh, okay. Careful while you're driving, please.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm pretty disappointed. I'm a Dean backer. I've been contributing since March of last year to him.
Right.
And I've foregone my IRA this year for Dean.
Right.
And I believe that what happened yesterday was nothing more than just an absolute feeding by the media, and I believe the media had a lot to do with this.
Yep.
And but the media got what they wanted. You see, they beat him down. Now the best time to kill a man is when he's down. See, because he can't fight. You know what I mean? So I believe the attacks will have just started on Dean. Right. They're going to beat him. They're going to keep him beaten down.
Okay.
I called Tom yesterday and said that I believe that John Kerry would be the anointed one, and I still believe that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll vote for John Kerry in a heartbeat to get rid of this youngster that's in the White House.
Okay, Jim, I got to let you go. We're coming up on a commercial break. Thank you very much for your phone call. Rahm Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman, and we're going over the Iowa caucus. It seems like I keep finding Dean supporters. We'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
an email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week, I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass destruction. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. I'm desperately trying to find time to talk about important things like Michael Jackson, Martha Stewart, Kobe Bryant, Scott Peterson, Daffy Duck, but no, you people keep wanting to talk about like politics and things, so all right. Like Gary in Colorado, you got a couple of minutes, so you better talk real fast, my man.
Well, I don't have much to say. I just want to encourage people to remember that it's the ideas more than the personalities.
Right.
And even if Dean or somebody else doesn't make it through the process, the very fact that people have stood up and expressed their ideas and provided money and a platform for people like Dean to express the ideas is a major part of the process. Whoever ends up with the nomination is going to have the heritage of what people have done to support Dean that they're going to have to live up to.
Yep. And I think you're right in that, Gary. I think all the candidates have really been influencing each other. I know Kucinich has made people change their stances on trade. I know Dean is the one that put the spine in the backbones of these candidates. And you look around. Kerry's got a lot to offer too. Although whether I like him or not personally, beside the point. But you're right. It's something that they all have to gain from each other.
Yep. And you never really lose when your candidate doesn't get the votes, as long as you're able to make a good argument. The truck driver a while ago who made the statement about putting his 401k into the process.
Right, Jim.
I wish I still had my 401k to put into the process, but yeah. Bush and his boys took care of that for me. But that money went to a good result, and I think it's a real good thing to see this kind of movement. And the important thing is whoever the individual is, for the people to stay in the process and hold that candidate's feet to the fire and make him live up to the Dean dream, even if his name ain't Dean. Thank you much.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in, Gary. And it is so true. This is actually a really good process that's coming out for the Democrats. In my mind, now I speak as an independent, and what I always saw with the Democrats was that they were starting to play more and more like Republicans. And, you know, I know a lot of Democrats like Bill Clinton, but I think Bill Clinton did more to drag the Democrat Party screaming and kicking over into the Republican side of issues. And now you have people who want to stand up and really be Democrats, and that's got to be good. Okay, well, this is Rama Schneider. I'm filling in for Tom Hartman, who is off gallivanting around Washington, D.C. He's going to listen to the president say things. I don't know, whatever the president says. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go anywhere.
Exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
And
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Curry and John Edwards rode 11th-hour surges to a 1-2 finish in Iowa's kickoff presidential caucuses Monday, dealing a stunning blow to favorite Howard Dean. Curry's comeback blew the nomination fight wide open, setting the stage for a free-for-all in New Hampshire's follow-up primary. Dean finished third, stripped of his front-runner's mantle and humbled, saying, "We're still alive," and vowing to carry the fight for the nomination to every primary state. Representative Dick Gephardt conceded defeat Monday night, and aides said he would fly home to make a formal withdrawal. Aides said he would drop out of the race at a St. Louis news conference at midday on Tuesday. The Missouri lawmaker offered his congratulations to his presidential rivals and said one of them would wind up with the party's nomination to challenge George W. Bush this fall. He pledged he would support that person in any way he could, but did not indicate whether he would endorse anyone while the nominating campaign continues. Nor did Gephardt say whether he intends to serve out his current term in Congress, his 14th and last. Tens of thousands of Shiite Muslims marched in Baghdad on Monday to demand early elections, the biggest public display of Shiite political power since the collapse of Saddam Hussein's Sunni-dominated regime. The protest aimed to send a message to the United Nations and the White House that Shiites will not accept transfer of power by regional caucuses instead of by a direct vote, as the Shiite clergy demands. U.S. and Iraqi officials yesterday asked the United Nations to send a team to study the possibility of holding elections in Iraq. Secretary General Kofi Annan indicated that he was leaning towards granting the request, but wanted more details. Music and colorful banners led a festive Martin Luther King Day celebration in downtown Atlanta, while other observations across the nation were marked by struggles to define the meaning of the holiday and the civil rights leader's legacy. Anti-war sentiments were still strong Monday among the thousands in the annual march through King's hometown, and many carried signs denouncing George W. Bush's foreign and domestic policies. One protester carried a sign that said, "Bush and dreams don't mix." More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK. 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
A mother rushing to get her son to school in San Diego County was arrested and jailed after a chase by the California Highway Patrol. The 10-minute pursuit Friday morning ended outside Del Mar Pines School with the arrest of Stacy Taylor for evading arrest and child endangerment. The arresting CHP officer said it was the first time he ever had a mother lead him on a chase to get her child to school. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What is one of the most dangerous things you can do when you get seriously ill? Go to the hospital. Talk about catch-22. You're sick and you're told by your doctor to go to the hospital, but no one tells you the deadly little secret of today's hospitals. They kill. They kill because they have inadequate infection control practices. Patients going in for a particular problem often acquire infections from the hospital itself, often causing death. Lots of deaths. The Center for Disease Control reports that nearly 90,000 Americans a year die from these hospital infections. That's more than die from auto accidents and homicides combined. About 2 million patients a year catch infections from their hospitals, one of every 20 people who go in. What could be done? A huge step forward would be the simplest one, hand washing. Infections could be cut by more than half if there was an effective program for all medical personnel to wash their hands regularly, especially washing with alcohol hand rubs. Yet hospitals, apparently watching their bottom lines, don't have such a system in place, and none are required to put it in place. On the other hand, some hospitals do an excellent job of preventing infections. How are you to know the good from the bad? You can't. Believe it or not, there's no requirement that hospitals report or publicly disclose their infection rates so we patients can decide which is the best place for us. Luckily, some states are pushing mandatory disclosure laws. Unluckily, hospital lobbyists are pushing a bill in Congress that would preempt the ability of states to require this disclosure, instead setting up a voluntary federal program for reporting infection rates, and even these voluntary reports would be kept from the public. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is stupid. Consumers Union is fighting for full disclosure. Join them at StopHospitalInfections.org.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, no, not exactly. Tom being the man that exposes corruption and corporate lies, I'm the man that just exposes myself. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman, who is off down in Washington, D.C., as best as I know. I think he's going to go listen to the El Presidente give his big political speech tonight, so we're actually having a pretty grand time here. You know, it's kind of wonderful. I'm glad because this worked out accidentally. I have no guest scheduled today, so we've got a, you know, there's a lot of issues that came up around the Iowa caucuses and, you know, apparently a lot of interest in people and interpretations, what they think went on. You know, this was kind of a chance to get out there and check the meat out, you know, and see how hunky are these guys. So, you know, if you have any comments or questions or, you know, as long as you won't talk obscenely or anything, you can give us a call at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, 1-800-825-5937. I want to start this hour now. This is a quote, and I don't know how I feel about Wesley Clark, so don't read anything into this or out of this. I think he made this was back from last year. He made such a great quote comment one time. I wrote it down because it is something that we should all keep in mind because it really has such a bearing on what everybody as far as the Democrats are trying to do. But Wesley Clark said, strong rhetoric in the aftermath is no substitute for wise leadership. And, You know, when you look at what people are doing, what they're saying is, look, all of the Democrats seem unanimous in saying, you know, that the Bushies just kind of jumped on into Iraq. They didn't know what they were doing. They thought, you know, well, we'll go into Iraq. We'll bomb the crap out of them. We'll blow up all their electrical stations, destroy their museums and their schools. And, why, they'll throw flowers at us. So, but you have this reaction, and it's coming from all the Democrats that are sitting there saying this whole Iraq policy is just unreal. It's wrong. It's bad. So, it's strong rhetoric in the aftermath is no substitute for wise leadership, and that's from Wesley Clark. I believe that was he said that October 29th, 2003. It was from a New York Times article. It was actually part of a complete sentence that went, we've got to say again and again and again until the American people understand. Strong rhetoric in the aftermath is no substitute for wise leadership. Okay, back out to Iowa there, you know. First-time attendees help double the number of Democrats who participated compared to last year. They had near record. I guess they didn't quite get record turnout. Who came in here? And Kerry, top of the list there from out of Iowa with 38% of the vote. Edwards, 32%. Dean, 18%. Geppert, 11%. Kucinich, 1% for delegates. And this is what really counts. Now, an earlier caller had said, and I can't remember. I think it was Michael. I might be wrong on that. An earlier caller had said it was like 4,800. Total get delegates. The number I got, and this was off an internet site having to do with the Democrats, so I don't vouch for it, but it seems reasonable, is 4,325. In other words, it's a lot of delegates they need. So Kerry's off to the early lead with 17. Edwards, 15. Dean, 7. So, you know, you're talking about a long ways to go, and as much as I appreciate the Iowa people, they are hardly going to be selecting the nominee all by their little lonesome. And then they head off to Iowa, and as somebody pointed out in one of these news articles, is Iowa 94% white, New Hampshire 96% white. What is it about us crackers that we think we have the right to sit there and grope these candidates to decide which one we like and which one we're going to stick in the oven, you know? What is it with white people that make us think that we could do that? How come the first caucuses or first primaries are not somewhere where there's a bunch of non-crackers, non-whites, you know, Latinos or blacks? Come out with it. I mean, oh, yeah. Did you ever wonder why a Jesse Jackson or Carol Moseley Braun couldn't make it? I won't say Mr. Sharpton, as much as I think the Reverend is a wonderful man to listen to and has some good ideas. I think he would get rejected by pretty much any group en masse. Although, you know, look, the guy has a lot to offer, and I got to tell you, I am darn glad that they've had the Reverend Sharpton in on those debates, because I think that he's offered something to him that wasn't being offered by anybody else, including humor. And let me see, where else are we at? Oh, yeah, you know what I haven't gotten to yet? The entrance polling. Now, because in the Iowa caucuses, now, if I'm wrong and somebody knows better, please call up and tell me. You can correct me on the air. I don't mind. But as I understand it, the process in Iowa, they go in and kind of declare how they stand, and then they all group into their various groups as to who's supporting which candidate. And if no candidates reach a certain threshold, then they have to turn around and try to convince people from other groups to join their group. And so what people feel like going in can oftentimes be very different from what they feel like coming out. And I suspect, I'm looking at entrance polls from WashingtonPost.com from that they had this morning. I suspect Dean actually gained in the caucuses. I don't know for sure. I turned on CNN around 8 o'clock, and I started watching this coverage of the caucuses. And after about 10 minutes, I caught myself. I said, Rama, what are you doing? What are you, stupid? God, go get a book. These people will caucus without you watching CNN go on with ad hominem attacks against your good buddy Dean. Yes, I'm a Dean supporter, but that's okay. That's not what we're here about. So, you know, if you call in, I'm interested in what you think about the whole process. You know, we finally have we've kicked off the primary season. It started. This is it. You know, they're off and going. Tahoe Tevin from the the message board, the Tom Hartman message board, full of really smart and funny people. Go to TomHartman.com, click on message board, and you'll get in there. Tahoe Kevin, Iowa Caucasians. Yeah, you got it. You know, I don't know. That's right. Letting a bunch of white people pick the presidential candidate. Huh? Yeah, did you ever wonder why maybe blacks and Latinos are always on the outside looking in? Gee, I wonder why. It actually kind of surprises me that 98% lily white Vermont isn't actually first. I mean, we should. Oh, yeah, somebody said chat room. You're right, not the message board. Okay, go to TomHartman.com, click on chat board, or actually go to his message board, too. He's got really a lot of cool messages there, a lot of interesting interaction. But I'm looking at the entrance poll going into the into the caucuses, and where Dean leads is not a whole lot. I mean, Kerry basically had the Iowa caucuses wrapped up when people walked in off the streets. So I don't know. Billy from California, come on in, have a seat, and tell me where I'm right, where I'm wrong, or whatever else you want to say. Billy?
Hello?
Hello, Billy.
Hello there.
Hello.
Did you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can.
You're making me sound...
That's what counts.
Billy, you're making me sound like George Bush. Will you stop that? I don't want to stand here and go, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? All right, well, hear me now and hear me always. Because
let's hear you roar.
I'm going to give you the facts, Jack.
Okay.
I thought what was interesting about the caucuses last night was, I want to talk about Kucinich for a second.
Okay, go ahead. You got it.
I thought I heard a number of times from people that, God, they loved Kucinich. They felt he was the only real Democrat that got them excited about Democratic principles, but he can't win, I'm voting for, and then it would be whoever they were voting for.
Right.
It makes me almost believe that if we did vote our hearts and not our heads, we actually might end up winning one of these times, as opposed to, you know, going with Republican light.
Right.
The other thing I want to say about Kucinich is that, in my estimation, he's what I call a mensch in the way he told his delegates to, if they can't get enough votes to be meaningful, where to go. Now, if Gore had done that same thing, then the ass Bush would not be our president today.
Okay, now,
you still can't say ass yet. The Congress hasn't passed a law against that word.
Not yet. It depends on how you used it, actually. So let's try to stick to polite language just to humor me.
No.
I've got
You just asked me to stick to polite language while talking about George Bush. It can't be done by an honest man.
I got it, but I'm trying to get back to the word mensch, okay? This cracker boy from Vermont, you know? Now, when you mean mensch, you mean it in a good way, right?
Yeah, mensch is a Yiddish word.
Okay.
And it means like a real man. You know, a mensch is a stand-up guy, a guy you want to have as a friend, as a role model. A mensch, a man, a real man.
Why?
Not macho. Not macho man.
Well,
a man who's man enough not to have to act macho.
And that would be Nennis. He's a very self-confident person, you can tell. But, Billy, let me ask you, two questions. First, are you a Kucinich supporter?
You know, I live in California.
Yeah.
So I have not had to make up my mind as to which one of these guys I want, because I'm an anybody but Bush guy.
Okay. What I am curious about, though, what I'm trying to get at here is...
How's that, though, for a real-world answer?
Well, that's close enough, because I'm still going to ask my second question, okay? I'm totally going to disregard your first answer anyway. I've been trying to figure out why Kucinich said this deal with Edwards as opposed to Kerry or Dean or Gephardt or whoever. Do you have any idea?
That's a good question.
I can't figure that one out.
And do we, you know, does he must have said something when he suggested that you go to Edwards?
Yeah.
But I didn't hear it. I don't know what the what his supposed reasoning or rationale was.
Yeah.
It's a very good question, and it becomes a bigger question than just Iowa, because clearly Kucinich just has to keep running to get his ideas out, while he himself really obviously cannot be elected this time around.
Well, so far, right now, but it's a long look. It's a long way to go to the end, okay? And actually, I got a statement from Kucinich I want to read part of when we go, because we're about to head out of here, head off to a break. So I want to thank you for your call, Billy.
Anybody but.
Okay. Yeah. Rama Schneider, I'm sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Show today, brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MATS. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company at 1-888-ECO-WINE. 1-888-ECO-WINE.
We'll be back with more music, but first, a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services, from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
We don't need no thought control.
Oh, darn, I thought they were going to do the we don't need no education part. That's my favorite spot, you know. I'm the type of person, I didn't go to high school. Who am I? I don't know. Wait a minute. I'm Rama Schneider. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Show. Defending America from conservative weapons of mass deception and all sorts of other nasty, nasty stuff that they want to throw our way. We're talking about the Iowa caucuses and the Democratic candidates, and we're just having a pretty darn good time. You know, one of the great things about having a fill-in host, if you can remember back to your days in grade school when you used to have a substitute teacher come in, and you know everybody would shoot spitballs at the back of her head and throw apples at her knees when she wasn't looking and stuff. That's me. You know, thankfully you can't hit me with the spitballs or apples, but you can maybe do it a little verbally. So let's get back to the phone calls, though. People seem to be really on this topic. I'm having a great time talking with everybody. Do we still have Antonio from Mass? Okay, let's head right on to Brian from Waco. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Rama. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, sir.
I am so glad to have IE America Radio.
Oh, that's right.
I wanted to give you a call real quick regarding what you were saying about Dennis Kucinich and John Edwards making the little deal.
Right.
Basically, what I've been led to understand by both the Edwards campaign people and the Kucinich people is that these two guys have become pretty good friends over the campaign. They both admire each other. And to be honest, if you look at them, they're both very optimistic. They're both very positive and run positive campaigns, and they're both for real change. They're not insiders in Washington.
Okay.
And they may not have originally agreed on the war, but I think it all has to do with the fact that they have gotten to where they can deal with each other. And to be honest, they're not that far off.
That's kind of interesting. I've never heard... Well, first off, I wasn't aware that they had developed this friendship, so that's kind of that's nice to hear.
This was all over both candidates' blogs yesterday on their websites.
Yeah. Okay, but I find it kind of strange because I never thought of Edwards and Kucinich as like being political soulmates. But
there's a website out there. I can't remember the URL, but basically you're able to plug the candidates' voting records in and
right.
find out exactly what position they are on the political spectrum. And if you punch Edwards' stuff up, you punch his voting record, you punch his statements on issues up, he comes out left liberal.
Really? Huh.
About the only thing that you can say that he voted conservatively on would have been his war decision, and I'm sure that was a hurdle for Kucinich to jump.
He also Edwards did also help write the Patriot Act. Now, and I know that people should take that with an asterisk because he says that he thinks that it's been carried out opposed to how they originally wrote it. But he did have a lot of input on that Patriot Act, right?
He did have some input on it. I'm not sure exactly what his level of input was. And, you know, that's been, for me, as an Edwards supporter, one of the things that I questioned.
Right.
But as far as his stance... the stances that I've seen him take since, you know, I've been following the Edwards campaign since August and September.
Right.
The stances that I've seen him take seem pretty much in line with my beliefs. And certainly, if you can get past a couple of issues, definitely simpatico with Kucinich's beliefs.
Huh. That's interesting. You also got a candidate that knows how to do organization, because these guys that came in, Kerry and Edwards in particular, at the end towards the Iowa caucuses, they did a lot of hard work and they did a lot of really good work. You know, I don't necessarily approve of it all, but these guys put out and they want that brass ring. So you certainly are looking at somebody that wants what he's running for.
That is true. He does want it. You know, to be honest, I think his methods have been the least objectionable of any of the candidates that I've seen so far. I was very disappointed in Dick Gephardt.
Yeah. All right, well, Brian, we're coming up on a hard break here. I got to let you go. Thank you very much for your call, and I appreciate that. It's learning something new every day. Omar from North Carolina, we'll be getting to you right after the break, if you can hold on for a few minutes. Ram Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Show.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Travel can be terrible for animals that are smuggled through the black market. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. When it comes to pets, the United States imports more wild birds, reptiles, fish, and other animals than any other country in the world. Most of these animals enter the country through legal channels, but many are smuggled in, and the traveling often kills them. Craig Hoover is deputy director of the North America Office of Traffic. It's an international organization that monitors trade in wild animals and animal products. Hoover says smuggled animals are often carried under poor conditions. He saw a lot of this when he worked as a wildlife inspector at international ports and airports.
The number of ways that animals are smuggled, for example, into the United States, really boggles the mind. I've seen everything from birds stuffed into tennis ball cans, inserted into false compartments in vehicles. I had an individual who tried to smuggle a live toucan taped to the small of his back. There have been examples of primates, small monkeys that have been smuggled inside hand luggage. Really, the list goes on, and it becomes more and more bizarre the more stories you hear about it.
Hoover says the mortality rate for smuggled animals is high. According to some estimates, for every bird that survives the smuggling, as many as five might die along the way.
However, because the profits can be so large, smugglers still find it worth it to smuggle in 10 animals with the hope that just a few of them make it, they're still going to turn a profit.
Hoover says pet shoppers can help stop these practices. They can ask for documentation that an animal, such as a bird or reptile, was raised by a domestic breeder or was imported through legal means. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All right. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show, the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations, brought to you by Small Dog Electronics. 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And The Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. I'm Ram Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman. And, well, you folks are just making this too easy on me. Thank you, though. I mean, this is a lot of fun. I mean, I guess I want to just throw out that disclaimer again. You know, my wife and I have been financial and political supporters of the Dean campaign from very early on, but I'm not here to talk sour grapes over the Iowa caucus. I think it's great that they had near record turnouts. I think it's great that there's so many people feeling this passionate about their politics. Now, we got a couple callers on the line, and I'll get to you folks real quick, but I want to read something here. And this was a statement from Kucinich. I got it off Kucinich.us, and it was released January 19th, 2004, which would have been yesterday. Democratic presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich had been showing at 3% in the polls in Iowa, but topped 15% or more in many precincts in order to win 1.3% of the total delegates. Had he failed to top a surprising 15%, Kucinich would have finished with zero delegates as expected. Now, as far as I understand, he did actually finish with zero delegates, but I could be wrong, all right? This is the beginning of the campaign, said Kucinich. And this is the part I think is so important to it all, to the whole process. This is the beginning of the campaign, said Kucinich. We've got 49 states left to go. The media had long ago predicted the winner of the entire process and even the loser of the general election. And tonight's caucuses have the pundits scratching their collective scalps in bewilderment. I moved from ninth place to fifth and won delegates despite the 15% threshold. That's a statement from Kucinich at Kucinich.us. And he's right. There's a long way to go. And, you know, face, I'll tell you what. If you're basing your political opinions by what you see on cable news networks, man, you are, well, all right. You're just a busy person. We'll leave it at that. Let's get to the phone. Let me see. Omar from North Carolina. Come on in. Have a seat. Have your say, Omar.
Thanks a lot. I'm already sitting here.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for taking my call. I appreciate it. You do pretty good imitation, by the way, of Tom Hart.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. I have a couple of things listed here, actually. First of all, Kucinich, you know, I'm a Kucinich supporter, and, you know, the number of time I have really heard older people, you know, I really like Kucinich, but he's not electable, you know.
Yeah, always
just
that
the number
but.
Of people that I have heard or read, if that number would have actually gone and voted for Kucinich, you know, he would be at least the second or the third, you know, I'm telling you that. Not
right.
to count all the people who I haven't even heard, you know. So,
right.
really, you know, that's one thing.
I think you got a good point there, Omar, and that's, you know, because you do. You always hear Kucinich in, there's this but clause with Kucinich, and I don't mean as in rear end, I mean as in on the other hand. And so, anyway, go on with your second point.
Yeah, and Edward, about Edward, I think, you know, he's from, he, son of a mill worker, as he say. In the very beginning when he started, you know, he was the first candidate who entered the race, the presidential race. And Edwards.
Yeah, he was the first one to declare, huh?
Yeah, he was the first one. And when I heard it back then, you know, I was kind of turned off by some of his comments and stuff. And then, you know, he voted for the war and stuff. So I wasn't impressed. And then when today Kucinich kind of, you know, supported him, then I look back and I see that, you know, he's basically a newcomer, and he thought that could have been too dangerous not to vote for the war. And, you know, he's been voting on other stuff as pretty much liberal issues and stuff like that. But anyways, I want to move on to this other story that was in the LA Times, I think, last night or a couple nights ago. And this is regarding Cheney. He went to duck hunting in Louisiana.
Oh. Yes.
With, guess who? Antonin Scalia.
Scalia.
The Supreme Court Justice. And on top of that is the same guy who is to decide whether or not Cheney, you know, to basically accept Cheney's appeal that he doesn't want to disclose his energy meetings, the subpoena document. And he
and
should...
Guess
And he issued a statement saying, well, you know, we shouldn't be as regarded as conflicting of interest, blah, blah, blah. But to top it all off, at the resort or at the club they went to, you know who that belongs to?
I don't know if I want to know.
Another guy, I don't know exactly his name, another guy who is actually one of the energy guys who Cheney met.
Oh, why am I not surprised by this?
And this is, like, amazing, you know?
Yeah,
Cheney
yeah.
goes with the judge who's supposed to decide his case and to duck hunting, and that's not supposed to be conflict of interest.
No.
And on top of that, the resort, the club they're going to, also happened to, just by coincidence, okay? This is not conflict of interest, all right? Don't be too cynical here now. But just by coincidence, it happened to be, the owner happened to be the guy who Cheney met in the meeting with the energy guys, you know?
And we wonder why Iraq doesn't want our form of democracy sent over.
Exactly.
I mean, didn't they just get rid of them?
You know? Exactly.
Oh, boy. All right. Omar, thank you so much for that phone call. You have a great day. I appreciate it. Let's head on over to Marty from New Mexico. She wants to clarify something that was said about the Patriot Act, I guess. Hello, Marty.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for hearing me.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I had heard that a comment made that Edwards was part of the writing of the Patriot Act.
I said that, yeah.
Okay. And my experience and my actually firsthand knowledge from my own representative from northern New Mexico, Tom Udall, in a letter to me indicated that the committee that originally put the Patriot Act together, that bill that was supposed to be put up for voting the next day after they had all agreed upon it, the committee
right.
had agreed upon it.
Yep.
That bill was actually, I'll say, yanked in the early a.m. hours, and this is according to Tom Udall in his letter to me.
Okay.
The early a.m. hours, that bill was yanked by Mr. Ashcroft and his department, who came in and literally replaced that committee bill with the administration's own bill to be voted upon. Now, apparently, Tom Daschle apparently had to have some kind of influence on this as far as allowing that to happen in his
right.
position and so forth. So when in the morning, when everyone came back, the House came back and thinking they were going to vote on the committee bill, what was actually laid upon them was the other bill, and I don't know how much time they had to discuss it, if they had any time at all.
Right.
Many of them voted upon it. I do know that Mr. Udall did not vote for the Patriot Act. However, I just wanted to clear up the myth about that. I think Representative Conyers has also been on some shows, and he has also said the same thing.
Okay. The only reason I say it, Marty, is because actually I heard Edwards himself state that pretty much in the words that I state. And thank you for putting it, because my recollection is you are absolutely correct there. And what Tom has pointed out more than once on this very radio show is the fact that when that bill was being considered, that's when Daschle and Senator Leahy, who Leahy at the time was chairing the Senate Judicial Committee, that's when those two received their letters
yeah.
with the anthrax in them. So
yeah.
they had no way. They had no paperwork. They couldn't get into their offices or anything.
Mm-hmm. Right, but there's more than one committee member there, and actually none of that was mentioned in my letter. Tom Udall's letter to me, and frankly, you know, what I have to say is, if you don't know what you're voting on, why are you voting yes?
That's my question
to all of the committee, the House committee, as well as the House representatives, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you don't know what you're signing, why are we signing it? We're told that all the time, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think it should be carrying through our House of Representatives, especially in such an important thing as quote-unquote, a Patriot bill, so anyway, I just wanted to share that up with you.
Well, thank you, Marty, and I appreciate your call.
Yeah,
and if there has been a comment made today on the radio show that we should all just keep in our brains and turn around and start asking a lot, it's what Marty just asked. Just why are these people voting on stuff that they don't read, they don't have time to even go through and get a general gist of? Okay. Well, let's cruise on down. We got Joe from Mass comment on the Iowa caucus. Hello, Joe.
How are you going? You're doing a great job filling in, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
I want to talk about the Iowa caucus strictly on a superficial level.
Please do.
Because that's the thing that most Americans can relate to.
Okay, are we going to bring sex into it?
No, absolutely not.
Darn. Okay,
last night, you know, I'm flipping through all the news entertainment. What is that? The CNNs and the Fox News and the CNBCs and all that garbage. And the news anchor woman was speaking about how handsome John Edwards is. then they're going on about a possible Kerry Edwards ticket. John Edwards, when he announced that he was going to be running for president, he actually did it on The Daily Show on Comedy Central, which is a younger base. Strictly on a superficial level, as far as like what most Americans really care about, he stayed positive. Dick Gephardt and Howard Dean went negative with their television ads in Iowa, and didn't work out for them. Yeah. And now with him and Kucinich, you know, kind of this, you know, subtle unity, I think it'd be a real positive thing.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, they love it. They just want to battle. They want to battle against Bush, and
I just want to say though, with this bit about how positive, and this is not meant to knock Edwards at all. What I'm going to say, everybody says how positive he was and how well it worked. The only reason Edwards stayed positive is because he could. Everybody else was busy hammering on Dean, who was the target. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Edwards didn't have to say a nasty word. He probably didn't have the money to do a whole lot of negative advertising because he had Kerry and Gephardt and all the cable news networks, the entertainment shows, as you call them, which I think is an accurate description. He had all these people doing the negative advertising for him. And I say this because we shouldn't delude ourselves. Edwards did not get elected senator by running pure positive campaigns. I would be very surprised if I heard from, and I'd love to hear from a constituent of his, maybe I'm wrong, but I would be very surprised if he doesn't know how to do negative advertising too.
Absolutely.
I
think he's just taking the angle he's taking for this. Lets him slip through the cracks, I think.
Hey, it works. You know, look, it's a strategy. These guys want the brass ring, and I don't blame them a bit for getting out there and fighting and scrapping, because we're talking about being elected to the most powerful position on the planet Earth.
Absolutely. When I watched the film The War Room, I was in awe of, you know, James Carville and the whole team and their strategy, and that's what it is. You know, you hire those people, those aides and all those intelligent people to, you know, get a grasp on what the public want and how to get yourself in the office. So
and sometimes it's not pretty, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Face it, but that's good. So well, all right, Joe, thank you very much for the call. I
thanks for taking my call.
Oh, it's great. It's our pleasure. I mean, this is one of the, like I say, I'm a substitute teacher here today, you know. Tom gets on the air and can really inform you folks. Tom, let me just kiss his butt for a minute here. Tom is an extraordinarily intelligent person in my estimation. I hold him in the highest regard. Not that I always agree with him, not that I always think he's correct. I don't, you know, let's knock at least one leg off that stool. But I really, Tom is a very, very intelligent, well thought out, well researched individual. When he comes on the air with you folks, is, you know, he's got stuff here prepared, and he knows what the heck he's talking about. Me, on the other hand, you get some peon like me, you know, he drags me off the street. He says, Ronald, put down your vodka bottle for the day and come fill in for me. I got to go off and do stuff. And, you know, here I am. I got to sit here and do the best I can. So when you folks call in, it makes it so easy. So I'm going to go right to the phone here, and we'll take Jerry from North Carolina. He's a John Edwards supporter. Hello, Jerry.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I just heard your comments. I am a constituent of John Edwards.
Okay.
And but I'm a Dean supporter.
Okay.
But I do remember when he ran for the Senate, he ran against Lot Faircloth, whom I don't know if you remember him.
I remember. Yes, I do. I remember the name anyway.
He was quite a polarizing, and Faircloth ran a very negative and dirty campaign. And the thing that Edwards probably, I think, helped him win the state. He did run a pretty good campaign as far as positiveness goes, but he also exposed a lot of the negative campaigning that Faircloth did about him, which was the product of some distorted tapes and films and sound bites of him.
Gee, go figure, huh? So what we're seeing on the campaign trail, though, is John Edwards from the past, too, right? So he's being consistent then.
That's pretty much him.
All right. Well, God, you know, I really appreciate that because some of these guys I know so little about. If you ask me about Howard Dean, I can go on all day long. I live in Vermont, you know. I've interviewed him on the radio several times on local talk shows here. But, you know, some of these other guys I don't. And I'm, you know, for me, I'm learning about Edwards thanks to folks like you. Anything else you want to add there, Jerry?
Thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate your phone call. I appreciate you calling up about that. At some point, you know, like, well, okay, so, all right, maybe John Edwards is the type that can keep up a positive campaign. You know, at some point, I want to get to these entrance polls because they're really fascinating, and actually they kind of show what kind of movement actually occurred during the day in Iowa. But we're coming up on a break here. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Show, and we'll be... Well, I'll be here when you come back, okay?
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Show. Uncommon sense from the radical middle. And boy, do we mean a radical middle. Man, am I pissed off now. I don't. Just thinking about some of this stuff. Anyway, Ron Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. If you want to take part in the program today, 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. In case I didn't mention it yet, the Tom Hartman Radio Show is brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. 1-888-ECO-WINE for the Organic Wine Company. All right, let's get right back to the phone here. I got Kim. He's a trucker. He's in Amarillo and wants to talk about the Iowa caucus. Hello, Kim.
Yeah. You got me?
Yes, sir. I got you. Four by four, brother.
By the way, thanks for taking my call. But
you bet.
What I want to talk about, because I know time's limited, is this caucus. First of all, remember, it's informal. Nobody takes down and checks the rules to make sure you're a Democrat.
Yep.
So literally anybody can show up, and so can their children if they're over 21, and they can go into different corners and claim, I'm for this person.
Hmm. So now you don't.
You might say you,
don't
you have to weigh that just a little bit. It's not going to happen at every precinct,
right?
But in the larger ones, like around Des Moines, you know, people don't know each other as well as everybody thinks. Maybe everybody knows everybody in Vermont.
Yeah.
But that is not necessarily true in Iowa.
Yeah. Huh. Well, yeah.
And so, remember one thing also. They really started coming down the news media on Dean. After he made the statement that one of the things of objectives of his administration would be to reduce the percentage of ownership, cross ownership, that the news media or the news conglomerates could hold.
Excellent point, Kim. Excellent point.
And also, you know, I'll be very honest. I mean, Edwards is a nice guy, but he's only served one term.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have served the Democrat Party and America better, in all honesty, between you and me, if he had stayed a senator at least one more term during these critical times.
Okay, Kim, we're coming up on our break. I want to thank you for your call, and drive carefully out there. We'd rather have you alive than dead, you know.
You got it, partner.
All right. All right. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Show. I'm going to get to those entrance polls. I don't care if I have to do it after I go off the air. I'm going to get to them. stop, take a check of the news, and hey, you all come right on back in here. You can squeeze into this room with me. No problem.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer?
Yeah.
You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Curry and John Edwards rode 11th hour surges to a 1-2 finish in Iowa's kickoff presidential caucuses Monday, dealing a stunning blow to favorite Howard Dean. Curry's comeback blew the nomination fight wide open, setting the stage for a free-for-all in New Hampshire's follow-up primary. Dean finished third, stripped of his front-runner's mantle and humbled, saying, "We're still alive," and vowing to carry the fight for the nomination to every primary state. Representative Dick Gephardt conceded defeat Monday night, and aides said he would fly home to make a formal withdrawal. Aides said he would drop out of the race at a St. Louis news conference at midday on Tuesday. The Missouri lawmaker offered his congratulations to his presidential rivals and said one of them would wind up with the party's nomination to challenge George W. Bush this fall. He pledged he would support that person in any way he could, but did not indicate whether he would endorse anyone while the nominating campaign continues. Nor did Gephardt say whether he intends to serve out his current term in Congress, his 14th and last. Howard Dean finished his Iowa campaign Monday night the way he began, impassioned and defiant of his Washington rivals. "We have not begun to fight," Dean shouted to supporters after a startling and distant third-place finish behind Senators John Curry of Massachusetts and John Edwards of North Carolina. Dean blamed the loss on attacks he suffered as the one-time frontrunner. His rivals pummeled him with criticism, saying he didn't have the foreign policy experience or temperament to lead the country. Tens of thousands of Shiite Muslims marched in Baghdad on Monday to demand early elections, the biggest public display of Shiite political power since the collapse of Saddam Hussein's Sunni-dominated regime. The protest aimed to send a message to the United Nations and the White House that Shiites will not accept transfer of power by regional caucuses instead of by a direct vote, as the Shiite clergy demands. U.S. and Iraqi officials yesterday asked the United Nations to send a team to study the possibility of holding elections in Iraq. Secretary General Kofi Annan indicated that he was leaning towards granting the request, but wanted more details. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
Mike Rowe thinks it's funny that his catchy name for a website design company sounds a lot like Microsoft. The software giant, however, is not amused. Microsoft Corporation and its attorneys have demanded that he give up his domain name, MikeRowSoft.com. In November, he received a letter from Microsoft's lawyers informing him he was committing copyright infringement. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What is one of the most dangerous things you can do when you get seriously ill? Go to the hospital. Talk about catch-22. You're sick and you're told by your doctor to go to the hospital, but no one tells you the deadly little secret of today's hospitals. They kill. They kill because they have inadequate infection control practices. Patients going in for a particular problem often acquire infections from the hospital itself, often causing death. Lots of deaths. The Center for Disease Control reports that nearly 90,000 Americans a year die from these hospital infections. That's more than die from auto accidents and homicides combined. About 2 million patients a year catch infections from their hospitals, one of every 20 people who go in. What could be done? A huge step forward would be the simplest one, hand washing. Infections could be cut by more than half if there was an effective program for all medical personnel to wash their hands regularly, especially washing with alcohol hand rubs. Yet, hospitals, apparently watching their bottom lines, don't have such a system in place, and none are required to put it in place. On the other hand, some hospitals do an excellent job of preventing infections. How are you to know the good from the bad? You can't. Believe it or not, there's no requirement that hospitals report or publicly disclose their infection rates so we patients can decide which is the best place for us. Luckily, some states are pushing mandatory disclosure laws. Unluckily, hospital lobbyists are pushing a bill in Congress that would preempt the ability of states to require this disclosure, instead setting up a voluntary federal program for reporting infection rates, and even these voluntary reports would be kept from the public. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is stupid. Consumers Union is fighting for full disclosure. Join them at StopHospitalInfections.org.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like a tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't take it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Well, no, here isn't Tom. Here is Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Show, though, where, well, straight to the heart of the truth, you know. That's what this show is all about. We don't futz around. As if the truth is hurtful or if the truth is going to cause you pain, well, you know, curl up in that fetal position because we're going to flog you with it. But seeing as the truth will basically set you free. That's what they keep telling me, so I keep trying it. I don't know, you know, maybe I keep running into this brick wall every time, though. But that's all right. We're getting there. Anyway, we're having a really great time here talking all about the Iowa caucuses and the various candidates. And, you know, I got all this other stuff to get to. But, you know, I am a substitute teacher today, and the class.
Thank you.
And as your substitute teacher, I am going to, you know, we're just going to let things go with the flow here. So if you folks are still happy talking about the Democratic candidates in the Iowa caucuses, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 will get you through to the show. If you have another subject, like one caller did bring up and wanted to point out something, I know it's in my pile of papers here that Vice Presidente, what's his name, Tricky Dickie Cheney, went golfing or went somewhere fishing or maybe murdering birds or something with a Supreme Court member Anthony Scalia. You know, and of course, Anthony Scalia is going to be hearing a case involving secret meetings held by Tricky Dickie Cheney. Why should we think anything like that is wrong? Okay. Fran from New Mexico. Don't come on yet. Fran, please just wait a minute, Fran. I've got to do something here or it's going to drive me crazy, okay? And then we'll get to your call right away. We're talking about the Iowa caucuses. For anybody that just came out of their coffin, Kerry came out of there with 17 delegates. He's got the lead. Edwards was second with 15. Dean with 7. Gephardt, who has announced he's dropping out, had none. And Kucinich, now, I get listed as none, but he says he got a delegate. So I don't know, and I'm perfectly willing to accept that he did or didn't. I don't know. But this is just the start of a very, very, very long walk. What I want to get to real quick here is the entrance polls, because it's really interesting. I think Dean and Edwards, actually, both of them moved up from when people walked in the door. And I could be wrong, but I'm looking at these entrance polls. I wasn't in Iowa. I was safely ensconced in my own bed here in even more lily-white Vermont. Why do white people get to make the choice? I don't get it. Anyway, that's a question I'll have to save for another day. But if you look at the different groupings, men versus women. Actually, it was 54% of the caucus attendees apparently were women, 46% men, which would be 100%, which is a good thing. Kerry got the most out of both of those groups. If you go by party and political ideology, Kerry got out of 6 out of 7 categories. Dean got the very liberal vote, which I find really, really strange. Age groups, 3 out of 4 went to Kerry. Edwards got the fourth one. He got the 30 to 44 age group. Family, income, education, affiliation, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 categories there. They all went to Kerry. And we can go down the list of the categories, and I'm skipping the numbers here because I want to get, we got callers that want to get on the air, so I don't want to get too detailed on the numbers. But you get the idea is all these categories, and these were entrance polls, people walking in the door are supporting Kerry, and he was, by the numbers, so far ahead of everything. I gotta think that Dean and Edwards both actually walked in the door and actually moved up the ladder some, as opposed to moving down the ladder. So I don't know. It's an interesting take, but you know what the heck? It's just my all I am is the local drunk who got dragged in off the street. So why don't we go to somebody who might know what they're talking about? Fran from New Mexico. Hello, Fran.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I think your comments are very interesting about the Iowa caucus, and I agree with you. Ed Rendell, who is the governor, is he the governor of Pennsylvania or the mayor of Philadelphia? I forget now. But he used to be the national chairman of the Democratic Party.
Okay.
And he says that he got twice as many votes when he ran for district attorney in Philadelphia as were cast totally in the Iowa caucus.
Yeah.
And his position is that it's very undemocratic, because he said last night, as you were saying, that the population of Iowa and New Hampshire are not really samples of the rest of the nation.
No, not at all.
And in fact, I think that New Mexicans really, whether people are white or Hispanic or black, ought to have a real problem with Dean, because in 12 years, as was brought up in one of the debates, in 12 years he never had a Hispanic or a black on his cabinet. Now, yeah. That is really a callous disregard.
Well, can I see that you use pretty strong language there? I'm just two quick points of defense for Dean on that, being from Vermont. The one point is, you're picking on the most white state in the union. I mean, we make Iowa and New Hampshire look integrated. And it's not the prejudice bit. I'm just trying to say that, you know, we're like 98% white. The other thing in Dean's defense is, he doesn't really have much of a cabinet per se. That's only a couple few people. He did, however, have lots of women and lots of He had lots of women. He did have blacks and he had Hispanics in very senior positions. So for whatever that's worth, that's all I'll say about it. Anyway, go on with what you're saying.
Well, if that was true, he really didn't bring that out in the debate.
No, he didn't. He did a horrible job with that.
So, you know, if he doesn't have that uppermost in his mind, then apparently either one, it didn't happen, or two, it isn't an important issue with him.
Yeah. Well,
move people up.
Okay, I think it's an important issue for him, but in Vermont, we tend to think more in the, up until very recently, in the last 5 years in Vermont, as a state, we've tended, when we thought about bringing up people who needed to get put into the system, we thought more in terms of women, okay? And it's only within the last, you know, 5 years or so that Vermont really has come to grips with the fact that we do have an issue with prejudice in the state. And I think that's part of what Howard Dean was trying to get to. And I don't want to say that as a defense, just maybe as part of an explanation.
Well, if he, you know, maybe he is looking at his own record if he's talking about racism and prejudice, because 12 years of not Hispanic, of appointing not one minority person is really, I think is really a poor, poor record.
Yeah, but you see, that's not true, though, because, and if you go back to the debate, and the way it was asked by Sharpton was, how many on your cabinet? Vermont doesn't have a humongous state government. Howard Dean, I think there's only like two or three cabinet positions. But there's lots of senior government positions.
Well, that would be 3 times 12, that's 36. So in 36 positions, not one minority person. Well, the other thing is, I think that Howard Dean is given far too much credit for having a program for jobs. I heard a comment saying that Dean has moved the discussion ahead. Actually, on the issue of jobs and NAFTA and losing jobs out of our borders, Howard Dean has really backtracked from the strong position that Kucinich took and that Gephardt took, because they both called for the repeal of NAFTA and GATT,
right.
Whereas Howard Dean, when he was at the debate here in Albuquerque, he stated that he would not repeal NAFTA or GATT. So yeah, he is no, not moving this forward. He is a status quo person.
You're 100%. I think you're right on with that. And I, you know, I'm one that supports Howard Dean. I take him along with some warts. There's things I don't agree with him on. And I, you know, so who do you look at as being your favorite out of the candidates?
Well, now that I have lost Kucinich and Gephardt, I'm not quite sure.
Have you lost?
It would probably be either Kerry or Edwards. I don't think it would be Dean at all, because he ran ads in Iowa stating that Kerry failed to vote, or he voted against a bill that would have provided funds for flood damage to farmers in Iowa. And then on TV, it was right there, the record, his written record, that Kerry voted for it. And the Dean camp was saying that Kerry's prostate cancer had renewed itself, where that's not true either. So if we have a problem with Bush being a liar and not telling us what's going on and being deceptive, we already see that Howard Dean is just like him or even worse.
Okay. Well, Fran, I want to thank you for your comments. Did you get your say?
I did.
Okay. Thank you very much, and have a great day here. I'm going to move on, because now we have Trey from North Carolina wants to talk about Edwards and Kucinich. Hello, Trey.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I want to comment about the Edwards and Kucinich deal. And you said you didn't know that. You said you didn't know that Kucinich and Edwards were friends.
Yeah, I had no idea on this.
Yeah, Kucinich, he said that about like 4 months ago when he was on the Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He was talking about how out of all the guys, him and Edwards were the closest out of all the candidates.
So are you an Edwards or a Kucinich man?
Yeah, I'm an Edwards supporter.
Now, Edwards is from South Carolina, right?
No, he was born in South Carolina, but he was raised in North Carolina. He's a senator from North Carolina.
Okay, that's where I'm getting confused. So he is a senator from North Carolina. Can answer me to this then, Trey, and somebody else already gave one input. Is Edwards, does he have a history of what we would call positive campaigning, or has he been known for negative campaigning when he ran for Senate?
Well, I don't really know that because I wasn't, like, following this stuff back in 1998. I just graduated high school a year before that.
Oh, okay.
But from some of the stuff I read, he was, like, attacked a lot for being a trial lawyer by Locke Faircloth. So most of the stuff that he was running was in response to what Faircloth was doing.
Yeah, God forbid somebody actually go to court for people like you and me, you know? That's horrible.
And I have something else to say, too.
Okay, it's got a real quick time, so talk fast.
All right, it's about the dean being attacked by, about how dean being attacked by the media.
Okay.
I found a statistic on Open Secrets that dean's highest donor from last year was AOL Time Warner.
Huh. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Trey. And Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. We are going to come right back, so you too.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Show, the true people's radio. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom, and the Tom Hartman Show is brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. And, okay, we got people stacked up that want to have their say, so I want to get to everybody, and we're going to jump right in there. Kent from Illinois, what's your? Hello? Kent? Kent, are you there?
Oh, hello?
Hello, Kent. What are you doing, man? You can't go to the bathroom while you're waiting to talk on the radio?
No, actually, I was going over some paperwork. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, yeah, I'm a black male. I'm a Dean supporter.
Okay.
Okay. The lady that was on earlier complained about Dean not appointing any minorities to his cabinet.
Yeah.
First of all, like you said, there are very few minorities in Vermont. I don't know where he would have found them to appoint.
Yeah, and they actually hold high-paying jobs, too, so,
Secondly... Look at Bush 1 appointing Clarence Thomas to the federal bench, and who has done more harm for minorities and the freedom of Americans, almost as much harm as John Ashcroft has done. So, you know, I don't care what color a person is. It's what he does in the position that's important.
Yeah. Okay. Well, can I – now, this might be kind of an insensitive question, but I'm dying actually to ask it. Does it bother you – that the first two states that get all of this attention, because no other states are going to get this much individual attention for the primaries or the caucuses, does it bother you that they're so white?
No, not particularly, no.
Okay.
Well, see, first of all, I don't think this Iowa caucus means a whole lot.
Right.
It's a bunch of people gathering in a corner or in a cubicle coming to a decision, and we don't really know how democratic this process is.
Yeah.
And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I suspect that there is an undercurrent of a movement here by certain segments in the media to try to remove Dean. And for people to say, you know, he can't win. I mean, is Kerry going to be like Bush Light? If I want to vote for Bush Light, I'll vote for the real thing. I want Howard Dean because I see a clear alternative to George Bush, and that's what I want to vote for.
Well, good man. Good man. So let me see. Where you're from Illinois.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, actually, I live in Chicago, but I work outside of Chicago.
Huh. I was born there in Cook County Hospital.
Oh, yeah, so was I.
Yeah, well, there we could be brothers.
Well, I grew up abroad. I grew up abroad, but I was actually born here.
Okay. Well, hey, great. All right. Well, thank you for your input. I appreciate that.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. You have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All righty. So let me go real quick because we still got more. William from Atlanta, hurry up.
I guess I would just reiterate exactly what your last caller said and just point out, like, it isn't as though there were, you know, hundreds and hundreds of African-Americans and Latinos, like, banging on, you know, the door to get into Dean's cabinet, and he was saying, no, you know, we can't have, I mean, that's just a complete, you know, misrepresentation of the situation. If you look at the breakdown of the racial distribution in Vermont.
Like, well, not only that, here in Vermont, we've even got white flight out of the state, for gosh sakes. I mean,
exactly, yeah. I mean,
so.
it's just, just so that's, I mean, that's pretty kind of, silly. I mean, what's interesting is that the issue that it, you know, is ostensibly about is, you know, that it the question of, you know, racial polarization in America is a really fundamental issue that needs to be addressed. And what's ironic is that, you know, it's perhaps Dean and, you know, some, you know, more, maybe someone like Kucinich and certainly Sharpton, are the ones who are really, seem to be most progressive on those issues.
Yeah, well, you know, look, Dean is the one that got out there out front and put his nose out there to get whacked with the baseball bat. He said, let's get race out here in the public domain.
Exactly.
So he's working. He's
brought
doing
it
what
into the discourse in a way that I think other candidates haven't. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And we're coming up on another break here, ladies and gentlemen. This has been such a really fascinating discussion today. I haven't mentioned it. Tom Hartman Show, brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-6227, and the Organic Wine Company.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Travel can be terrible for animals that are smuggled through the black market. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. When it comes to pets, the United States imports more wild birds, reptiles, fish, and other animals than any other country in the world. Most of these animals enter the country through legal channels, but many are smuggled in, and the traveling often kills them. Craig Hoover is deputy director of the North America Office of Traffic. It's an international organization that monitors trade in wild animals and animal products. Hoover says smuggled animals are often carried under poor conditions. He saw a lot of this when he worked as a wildlife inspector at international ports and airports.
The number of ways that animals are smuggled, for example, into the United States, really boggles the mind. I've seen everything from birds stuffed into tennis ball cans, inserted into false compartments in vehicles. I had an individual who tried to smuggle a live toucan taped to the small of his back. There have been examples of primates, small monkeys that have been smuggled inside hand luggage. Really, the list goes on, and it becomes more and more bizarre the more stories you hear about it.
Hoover says the mortality rate for smuggled animals is high. According to some estimates, for every bird that survives the smuggling, as many as five might die along the way.
However, because the profits can be so large, smugglers still find it worth it to smuggle in 10 animals with the hope that just a few of them make it, they're still going to turn a profit.
Hoover says pet shoppers can help stop these practices. They can ask for documentation that an animal, such as a bird or reptile, was raised by a domestic breeder or was imported through legal means. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Quail.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
the best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Rama Schneider, and you're in the Democracy Zone. Of course, no, you're not. You know what, though? That's not. I shouldn't say that, because when you call up, I am Rama the phone Nazi. Of course, I've been a pretty nice guy about it today, but I've been known. I tell you, I have had a letter to the editor written about me complaining about how I yelled at my mother one time when she called me up on a talk show. I don't know if I'm really all that proud about it, but, you know, there it is. So, you know, when you call me, it takes your chances. Who do we got? We got, let's go. Actually, we've been talking about the Iowa caucuses for the last 2.5 hours here. We're going to keep going. Everybody seems to have something they want to say about this. This is great. I am learning a lot, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. In case you were dead until just a few moments ago, out of the Iowa caucuses, Kerry came out with 17 delegates, Edwards 15, Dean 7. I don't know. Kucinich says he got one, but, you know, I keep seeing listed as zero, but I don't know. There's a long path. Nationally, it's more than 4,000 delegates are needed, are going to be participating, you know, so... there's a long ways to go to get to half of that. You need more than 2,000 delegates. So 17, 15, or 7 out of 2,000 ain't diddly. I don't care how you want to count it. So let's get back on the phone. We've got Elliot, who apparently is a trucker stuck in Minneapolis. Elliot.
Hello, Roman.
How are you doing, sir?
My call.
Yes, sir.
I'm really going to miss IE America in the future on my Sirius satellite.
Oh, yeah, that's... Well, don't count it out yet. I don't have any inside information. I have just been told that, you know, things are still up in the air, and, you know, Tom Hartman Show will still be going one way or the other.
Well, I wanted to give you guys credit for being the most outspoken talk radio show in the country.
Yeah,
and
well,
I think
great.
You deserve it.
You know who to also call up and thank if you get time? Call the UAW and thank them, because, you know, they've been the one that have been footing the bill for a while here, so.
Well, I certainly will.
Great.
I'm a Kucinich supporter, and I'll be a Kucinich supporter until the end.
Okay.
You know, this is just the beginning. You know, for me, the issue is not if you win or lose, it's how you play the game. And I think Mr. Kucinich has been probably the most honorable of the candidates. Trying to stay on the issues as much as possible, addressing the issues of beating Mr. Bush, not beating up on each other.
Right.
That's important to me. I'm kind of disappointed in the press in that they've completely ignored Mr. Kucinich. They've trashed candidates like Mr. Dean as they see fit. You know, I feel like I'm being programmed by the major media. Press media and the major television media in particular, certain cable stations as well. So that bothers me. And on the race issue, I think wasn't there a primary in Washington, D.C., which was completely ignored?
Well, yeah, but that, you're right, actually. And Howard Dean won that one. That was a, but it was a non-binding primary.
Well, it's not a state. I mean, the home rule issue in D.C. is a major racism issue in this country, if you ask me. That's one of my old hometowns. I used to work for the government at one time. And, you know, that issue has never been reconciled. So if you really want to deal with a race issue, let's deal with the issue of how they totally ignore Washington, D.C.
Yeah, yeah. They like to keep it under the thumb of the white right-wing wackos in the House and the Senate.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And, you know, it is a city that is a majority black, not completely, but certainly a majority black. They've come a long way. I think it's been misrepresented as for its ability to become a state.
Yeah, well... Yeah, that'd be an interest. Of course, you know, I mean, it was deliberately set up not to be a state so that you couldn't have some state's jurisdiction trying to exercise any jurisdiction over the federal government. So it may be that even though this is an uncomfortable setup, that it may be the best one that we've got going.
Yeah, but back then, slaves couldn't vote, and the majority of Americans couldn't vote either unless they were landed class unless they were they could write and read. You know, things have changed a lot, and maybe we need to reconsider.
Good point. Good point. I certainly appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Elvin. Have a good day.
You too, Mr. Elliott. And when you get going, drive carefully, sir.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You betcha. All right, let's cruise on over to Raymond from Cement City. What is that, Minneapolis? Minnesota, maybe? I don't know.
How about Michigan?
Rama. Excuse me. I'm going to hit myself a couple times in the head. I feel better.
That won't do you any good.
It felt great.
But, hey, I thought I'd give you a call. Yeah, this is always interesting to talk about who's ahead in the horse race. And, you know, I got to tell you, when I call in, I'm still with Wesley Clark. I've been with him since last spring, and I think he's the right man for the job. And I hate to say anything disparaging about the other candidates, because they all represent the right thing versus who's in office right now. But I think we're going to see, particularly with the New Hampshire event coming up, that Clark has come a long way since he started in a short period of time, and he knows how to run things, and I think that's really what we need in the White House, and I think he's a guy who can really knock Bush off the stool, and I think we have to go for the person who has the highest probability to do that, and I think he does too, even though that, you know, I really think Kerry is good from a policy perspective and a responsible leader for the country.
Right.
But I think that the times we're in now, what Clark can bring to the table is the fact that he has worked with the NATO community and worked with leaders internationally and built relationships, and that he does know how big organizations work. That's what he does, is run things.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that Mr. Clark, or General Clark, certainly has a lot of very high-level foreign policy experience. Hold on, Raymond. Don't go anywhere, because if I don't do this, I'm going to forget to do it.
Okay.
When we went to a commercial break, I didn't get through the whole promos. We are brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company at 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECO-WINE. Okay, now, Raymond, I am really curious, and I'm not asking this in any negative connotation, because I'm kind of curious. Does it bother you about the fact that Wesley Clark seems to have, let's call it recently, it could have been over the last couple or few years, but let's call it he's recently become a Democrat? Does that bother you at all, or do you not see any?
No, I don't, because I think at the core he's a liberal, and I think his values are that people are important, and they really come at the top of the list, and I think that's what he's demonstrated throughout his career. So, you know, you can put labels on people, and you know, a lot of people voted for a lot of different people. I voted for Nixon at one time, but I don't consider myself a conservative at all.
Okay.
And so I think the thing that people also forget is maybe two points in this. Is one is I don't really think you give up anything in terms of democratic values with Wesley Clark. And the other thing is we need to concentrate on the big picture, and we need to get some legislative people in the Senate and the representatives, because, you know, Clinton did a lot, and he didn't get a lot of help from us.
He had the Democrat Party trying to beat up on him as bad as the Republicans were. I mean,
right.
You know.
So if we get some representatives and some senators in there, and that's one of the problems, if Edwards doesn't run again and we were losing all these senators, you know, this is really dangerous. So we have to make sure that the guy that we put out there is the guy that's going to win, because this, the presidency is the one office that can check the whole situation.
Okay, now let me put you another question to you, Raymond, because I hear this a lot, and I know I say it a lot, too. that you got to have somebody that's going to get these Bushies out of office. We've got to clear out that whole administration. They're god-awful, terrible, horrible, ignorant, stupid, lying, thieving. I could go on and on. And I honestly feel I have contempt, and I have no fear of them. I'm going to help beat them out of office. But what is it that once you get them out of office, what is the particular thing that we need to get them out of office so much for to get done? I mean, you know, let's say Wesley Clark gets to be president. What is it that you need so badly to get them out and him in to get done?
Well, I mean, there are multiple fronts. I think we need to repair our international relationships. I mean, you know, last spring I got into this thing with Clark because I was looking around and said, you know, Saddam, you know, he's a problem, but we don't, it wasn't an imminent threat. We need to use that as a teacher for how we as an international community can solve these problems, because it's not clear that we will be the biggest dog on the block forever. And whatever we create now in terms of international relationships and friends in the world is what we're going to be living with when we're not the biggest dog on the planet.
Right. Yep.
And so I think you're really setting your course for the future. We're only 300 million people out of 6.3 billion, et cetera, et cetera. And then the other thing that's really under that we don't talk about enough is the constitutional legitimacy and the things that are being eroded away from that. Protection of our environment and the constitutional those are issues that I think Clark has said we have to have. We don't lose the key core liberal or progressive issues. Our approaches might be different in some cases, but if we get the right kind of Congress in there working with him, I think he's a person who will work with people and bring people together. He could be a leader in the party to help us get new representatives in.
Yeah, well, to be honest, as somebody who originally was very, very, very uncomfortable with Clark, as time goes on, I'm becoming less so. And, you know, it's right now I have basically one Democrat I wouldn't vote for, and, you know, it's not Wesley Clark. If he gets a nomination, I'd vote for him. But, all right, well, thank you for your call, Raymond. I certainly appreciate that. You have a great day. You know, it's interesting what Raymond said there, you know, that we're not always going to be the biggest dog on the block. And funny enough, it's coming from People Daily. This is PeopleDaily.com. That's the Chinese, mainland Chinese. It's a news website. And they have it. And, of course, you know, when you talk about mainland China, you know, they're superpower or on the verge of superpower status. And, you know, compared to our population, they're what, like 1.5 billion, you know, with a B or something like that. Their southern neighbor, who has recently gone over 1 billion people just in the last 5 years or so, India. This is an article from PeopleDaily.com. India may emerge as a superpower. Indian Deputy Prime Minister L.K. Advani Sunday said that given the upturn in the economy and other fast changes taking place in India, it was possible for India to emerge as a superpower in the 21st century. The Press Trust of India quoted Advani as saying that the 20th century may have belonged to the West, but this century definitely belongs to India. Quote, "We will prove this and make the world see that it is quite possible for India to emerge as a superpower," he made the remarks while inaugurating the 24th edition of Hindi Daily. It's a newspaper. I'm not going to try to pronounce all these names here. And it's a short article and just goes on for a couple more lines talking about the Indian economy taking an upturn. So that gentleman, actually, Raymond from Cement City, Michigan, has a really good point. And the truth is, you know, so much, if you look at international affairs, and I'm not going to try to go into a long treatise on explaining all of this, but if you look at international affairs, they reflect interpersonal affairs very much. Nation states are still very much like an organism in the sense that they kind of react and act as a body for the most part. And what goes around comes around, folks. If you walk over to your neighbor's house every time you want a cup of sugar, let's get away from the oil, okay? Here goes Mrs. Cheney. She says, "Oh, I need a cup of sugar. Dickie, will you please do this for me?" And Dickie goes over to the neighbor's and breaks down the door and rummages through their cabinets. "Oh, here's a sugar," and walks out with the sugar. You do that in Vermont, you get shot. Let's put it that way. And there's only so long that we're going to, as a nation, as Raymond so eloquently put it, we're only going to be able to get away with being a bully for so long. I'll tell you what happens to bullies. I've dealt with bullies before. And at first, dealing with a bully is kind of scary. It makes you back off because the bully is, they're a bully because it's been working for them. But after a while, you finally get sick of being pushed around. And you stand up to them and you say, "Okay, bully, if you think you really want to do something, take your best shot." Now, sometimes you lose for saying that. You know, okay, I've lost for saying that. But in the end, if enough people look at that bully and say that, that bully has to walk away. Because that bully knows they're going to lose. And we will have that happen to us. If we think that we can just throw our military might around and have the nation go, or have the world go, "Ooh, U.S. Wrong, bozo. They think of themselves like we think of ourselves. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Show.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman, and the Tom Hartman Show brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227, and the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECOWINE. And, hey, big thanks to Shar Jones doing the engineering out there in Michigan. And, of course, you know, Tom always gets to say, and I had Louise helping me here. I got stuck in here with nothing but the cats, so there you go. Anyway, we got one last phone call we can get in here, and from Sarasota. Make it fast.
Yes, I will. I've heard some of your callers calling in talking about Wesley Clark saying he seems like an okay guy. They really need to do some homework on him. Because he is a lobbyist for a big company that, and he still is a registered lobbyist for them, a big corporation, a tech corporation that has to do with the security systems at airports and things. The company he works for out of Arkansas, the investment company, is a big Republican-backing company. And Clark himself has been a Republican in the past and was a big backer of George Bush the first.
You're right,
and,
H.W.
Ronald Reagan, and then all of a sudden he became a Democrat sometime in the past year or so, from what I can gather. So, you know, you need to know who you're talking about before you go saying, oh, they seem like an okay guy.
You're right, Ann. And fortunately, there's shows like this where people can discuss different things that they find out or that they have an opinion. On the unfortunate side, we're going to have to accept that even the people that we like have warts. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I think, though, that the Democrats, I mean, we all want somebody besides Bush, but we need to try to pick the best candidate. And this idea of who's electable against Bush, any of the Democratic candidates would be electable if the Democrats would get out and vote.
As Dennis Kucinich said, he's electable if you'll vote for him.
Exactly.
You know? You got it. All right. Well, thank you, Ann. I appreciate the phone call. You have a great day. Florida. Boy, I need to get back down to Key West, Florida. I was stationed down there in the Army. I was keeping you all safe from an invasion from Cuba. And that was back in, late 70s.
Yeah.
And you notice how good a job I did, too. I want you to note that you never got invaded by Cuba while I was down there in the Army. Okay? So I did my job. All right. Well, I guess that's kind of wrapping up our day today. I will be back tomorrow. And then after the day after tomorrow, you'll get the Master Tom Hartman coming back. This is a lot of fun, so you know I have a good time. I hope you all had a great time, and I guess I'm going to be out of here. I don't get a chance. I got all these jokes. I had these jokes written down. I don't get to tell anyone. You all have a good day. Bye-bye. It's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr.